Welcome to Christmas Clatter, the podcast that celebrates everything that makes Christmas special. Join us on Facebook and Instagram at Christmas Clatter Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Clatter Podcast. Email us at ChristmasClatterPodcast@gmail.com or visit our website at ChristmasClatterPodcast.com. Hi, and welcome to Christmas Clatter. I'm Todd Killian. Man, Christmas is getting closer and closer. I can't believe it. It just seems like blink and it will be here and be gone. So let's make sure we cherish each and every moment of it. Enjoy it. Make it as grand as possible. I want to remind everyone and encourage everyone to go check out the new website, ChristmasClatterPodcast.com. We have weekly blog posts that go up on Sunday. Myself, Michael Christelman, and a few other people scheduled to be posting there. Also check out and sign up for the free email newsletter, Clatter Chatter, there on the website. Big news, big announcement for Clatter Chatter coming on Friday, this Friday. So be sure to check out the social medias for that. I'll be making an announcement sometime Friday, probably right before lunchtime, Central Standard Time. And I'm trying to get a bonus episode finished by Friday. If not, it'll be a bonus episode for the week after. It's a pretty big episode, a lot going on, a lot of pieces, and just being the busier time of year, it's getting a little tougher to get everything done quickly. Next week's episode will be a fantastic one. It will be Merry Melee 2. Tune in for that second installment of our Merry Melee series. But for today, we have a special recast, miscast of Christmas Vacation. Chris with a C from Christmas Time in the City and Manny from Feliz Christmas, Merry Navidad, joined me and brought their own recastings along. Here is our recast and miscast of Christmas Vacation. Well, joining me here on Christmas Clatter for this recast or miscast is the half of the host of Christmas Time in the City podcast. It's Chris with the C. Thanks, Chris, for joining us on Recast Miscast.
Thank you for having me, Todd. I appreciate it.
No problem. And also joining me for his making his quasi debut of Christmas Clatter. He's been here before, but you guys haven't heard it. And I'll get more into that after this segment. But it's Manny from Feliz Christmas, Merry Navidad. Thanks for joining me, Manny.
Thank you, Todd. Thank you for having me.
No problem. We are here to recast and miscast a beloved Christmas movie, I would say, is at least a top three in every list, probably top one and two in most people's lists. But I know enough people that love Christmas movies enough to know that sometimes it's third. But we are here to recast the beloved Christmas Vacation.
Yeah,
it's gonna be a daunting task. I think each of us have taken this movie in a little bit different direction than what it originally was. And without just keeping on saying words, let's just go ahead and jump into the recast. We're going to start off with the grandparents, with Clark's family, Clark Sr. and Nora, originally played by John Randolph and Diane Ladd. They were a loving couple, a very tender couple towards Clark, although they could be feisty towards the in-laws and other people. And for my recasting, I chose two icons of entertainment, Eddie Murphy for Clark Sr. and Oprah Winfrey for Nora.
It's hard for me to believe that they're around the same age. In my mind, I always assume that Eddie Murphy is young.
Yes, every time I think of Eddie Murphy, I think of Delirious.
Sure.
You know, or Raw, the red jumpsuit. He's forever Well, that and that little leather hat he wore in Golden Child. I think
Golden Child's great.
Yeah, that's probably his most underrated movie. So, and I still walk around going, I want the knife for whatever reason. So you probably already see how that recasting has changed the direction of the film. All righty, Chris, who do you have recast for Clark Sr. and Nora?
Well, I have another kind of a shocking casting. I think that's probably going to set the tone for the rest of my casting as well. For Clark Sr., I have a gentleman by the name of Iqbal Thiba. He played Principal Figgins on Glee. He looks like that guy. He's a character actor. He was on Glee. And I have him as Clark Sr. And then for Nora Griswold, I have Deborah Jo Rupp, Kitty from okay. That 70s show.
Okay. Nice. Yep. A little bit different casting there for those two. Sure.
Yeah.
It's an interesting choice. A couple of solid character actors there. You didn't go for the big headlining stars of yesteryear like I had.
I've got some pretty big ones in there, but I wanted to keep the budget low. I wanted to keep the budget low.
Budget conscious. Budget conscious.
Kitty's very cheap.
All right, Manny. I know you've toiled over this for weeks and weeks and weeks. Who do you have for Clark Sr. and Nora?
I mean, my budget's a little bit, you know, friendlier than Chris. Uh-huh. I'm going into the time capsule. It's going to be Walter Matthau and Betty White.
Ooh. You're doing a complete dream recasting of anybody you can want. I like that.
Yeah, like I'm going to dream. Let's dream.
My grandmother would love that movie.
Yeah. Walter Matthau, it's hard to find people that aren't fans, but he was one of those few actors that could be in the silliest comedy, but the most dramatic of roles at the same time and be believable in all of it. He's kind of like definitely a dying breed. You don't see actors with that much range anymore. Probably the last actor that I could think of off the top of my head that's able to pull that off would be Tom Hanks, I guess. Other than that, I can't think of a more modern actor that can do silly comedy and high drama. Maybe Chris Pratt. Maybe.
I think Chris Pratt maybe is too attractive.
Yeah.
I think part of what Matthau's, man, like he is very similar to Tom Hanks in that regard, I think.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like not ugly, but just like normal.
Yeah. You put Betty White in any kind of comedy, it's a home run hit right there. No matter what it's about, or I still liked her in Lake Placid. I think that was one of her funniest roles.
She the cow lady in Lake Placid?
Yeah, she was the lady that owned the alligator, wasn't she?
Yeah, and she was feeding the cows, all right?
Yep.
I haven't seen that forever. I didn't realize that was her. That's funny.
Yeah, that's a foul mouth Betty White in that one. Ooh. A little bit shocking. Let's move on, guys, to the in-laws, the cranky couple that seems to stir up a lot of the drama, and that is Ellen's mom and dad, Art and Francis. And I am going with some actors at the basically same years as Eddie Murphy and Oprah Winfrey. And I'm going with Samuel L. Jackson and Whoopi Goldberg.
Man.
I just love Samuel L. Jackson as a grumpy guy. He would be great. And it's actually be a chance where he'd get to play a character close to his age. It seems like he's always playing somebody about 25 or 30 years younger than what he's supposed to be.
But what is his age?
That's a good question. Let me turn to the Google machine here and pull it up.
Then you can spat it out and like, actually he's 72.
Right.
It's edit the rest, this middle bit out.
And he is 71.
71.
It's like they did a great job of de-aging him in Captain Marvel, but he still ran like he was 70 years old. You know,
so, hey, I run like I'm 70 years old and I'm not.
I always tell people, if you see me running, you better run too. So yeah, I think Samuel L. Jackson and Whoopi Goldberg would make a great cranky couple. Whoopi's real good at that backbiting and taking a slight at you without acting like it. And those Art Francis was originally played by E.G. Marshall and the great Doris Roberts. Everybody remembers Doris from this movie and from Marie from Everybody Loves Raymond. Basically the same character, but nobody cared because it was fantastic to watch. So who you have for the in-laws, Chris?
Well, for Art, I originally picked this character for Uncle Louis, but he's a little younger than the Aunt Bethany, so I swapped him out for this. Mm-hmm. Not that he's like my second pick for anything. For art, I have Steve Martin.
Ooh.
And then for Francis, I have Diane Keaton.
Ooh. Yeah. Reuniting those two.
Yeah.
From Father of the Bride.
Yeah, they're fun. They're fun together. Yes. There's a couple more like people like that coming up later, I think.
Oh, man. That's a good call.
Yeah, I like that.
I like that a lot. They would both be great in that role. In fact, I could see Steve Martin in both the father roles of this. You know, I could see him as Clark Sr. and I could see him as Art as well. That's a good call. I hear they're making another Father of the Bride for Netflix. They're bringing the original cast back. I read that not long ago, or maybe I dreamt it. I can't remember.
If you're dreaming about that, then I don't know what to tell you.
I'm pretty sure I read that they're bringing everybody back, Martin Short and everybody.
I feel like I might have seen that too.
Yeah. So we're having the same dreams, Chris. That's good to know.
We're falling asleep with Netflix on.
Yeah. All right, Manny, how about your complete dream cast of Art and Francis?
All right, for Art, Harrison Ford.
Ooh, that's a good one.
And Francis, Susan Sarandon. Haven't seen her in a while.
Yeah.
That's great.
That would work. And Harrison Ford would not have to act.
He'll play Harrison Ford.
He would just play Harrison Ford and be just fine. Something tells me he's just cranky all the time for some reason. You hear a lot of stories about Harrison Ford dealing with the public, and sometimes they're not the best stories in the world to hear, but we still love our Han Solo and Indiana Jones. So,
yep.
All right, let's move on to the yuppie neighbors. I know it's not a word that gets used anymore, but they were classy 1980s yuppie neighbors, originally played by Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Nicholas Guest, Todd and Margot. I'm going here with a young power couple, acting power couple, Donald Glover and Zendaya. Two good-looking people that could seem like they would be a little snooty, a little snobby, you know, be on top of all the modern trends and would hate the cliché-ness of Christmas and all that kind of stuff. And I could see Zendaya pulling off the going knocking on Clark's door and getting mauled by the dog and then going back and punching Todd in the face. I could absolutely see her doing that. 100%. So, how about you, Chris? Who do you have for the neighbors?
I have a slightly older power couple, and that would be an actual married couple. I have Nick Offerman and Megan Mullally.
Ooh, that's a good choice too.
Yeah, I was pretty pumped when I realized that was an option.
Yeah.
I thought maybe Amy Poehler, but then I liked the two of them together so much. So I just put Megan Mullally in there.
Yeah, if you put Amy Poehler there, I don't think people would be able to see anything but Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
You know, that tends to happen. We watched that show.
Making It,
which is a great show. If you haven't seen Making It, check it out on Hulu. It's a great show. Very inspirational. Makes you want to build stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of like Bake Off, but with like power tools.
Right. Very cool. We love it. Can't wait for season 3, but COVID's gotten in the way. COVID again, but I'm sure it'll be back. That's a good choice. Nick Offerman's one of those guys. Every time I see him, I like whatever he's doing. So,
yeah, I feel like they would slide right into those characters really well.
Absolutely would. All right, Manny, how about you for the yuppie neighbors?
All right, I'm going to go with a real life couple as well, which is Chris Hemsworth and Elsa Pataky.
Ooh, real good looking couple there.
Yep, and they could pull it off too.
I don't think there's anything Chris Hemsworth couldn't pull off, especially comedy. He's really great at comedy.
And she's a great actress too. So
yeah, she is. She's very good. That would be hilarious. Especially him being so big and buff and known as, you know, known as Thor and all that. And then him being like not man enough to go to the next door neighbors.
Yeah. Like they're all vanity muscles.
Right. that would be a great, that could open up some jokes for Ellen too. Kind of pining for the neighbor instead of Clark pining for somebody, you know, you could kind of flip the script a little bit with that. Sorry. I'm recasting live and making Ellen the Clark character and vice versa. So.
I hadn't even thought of that. That's a good idea too, though.
Yeah. Maybe we'll have to get together again and do it.
we'll just flip this movie every way we can. Yeah.
Oh, I alluded to it earlier, everybody, but we have recorded this once before, and And when I was editing it, I thought there might be a better way to do this. And I called these guys back and they were kind enough to rejoin me again to do it again. And I really appreciate it. So although this is the first time we're hearing some of these actors, it's not the first time for these guys hearing mine. And they're doing a fantastic job being excited about hearing them again, probably because
there's a couple I'm not excited about.
I was gonna say probably because some of them so probably some of them so bad. Alrighty, did you have a Lewis and Bethany, Chris?
I do have a Lewis and Bethany.
Okay, well, for my Lewis and Bethany, they're the older couple that comes in, the great aunt and uncle. I have James Earl Jones and Darlene Love playing this, and James Earl Jones, of course, a great actor and in many, many different ways. Everybody knows him. Darlene Love is very synonymous Christmas because of her songs. She's become an actress as well. It's kind of a heartfelt pick for Darlene Love for me because I'm a big fan. And I also would like her to cover the Christmas Vacation song in the intro, which I think would be a great honor to Mavis Staples, who originally sang it. And Darlene Love was one of her contemporaries from that genre. And I heard Darlene sing not long ago, even though she's in her 70s, probably pushing close to 80 now. She still can sing anybody under the table. She is fantastic. So those are my two picks, James Earl Jones for Lewis and Darlene Love for Bethany. Go ahead and give me your great aunt and uncle, Chris.
Well, for like I mentioned, I originally was thinking Steve Martin for Uncle Lewis, but he was a little too young. Which is surprising, but he was a little too young for my Aunt Bethany. So I was thinking originally the Uncle Lewis in the movie, he like for some reason he was really imposing to them, but he was only like 5 feet tall. Like they were all just kind of just constantly, I don't know, they were like skirting around them. So I wanted to make him a little bit more imposing. So to match the age of Aunt Bethany, I went with for Uncle Lewis, I went Clint Eastwood. And obviously you can't have Aunt Bethany without Betty White. So,
Clint Eastwood and Betty White. Wow, that is great. Clint would be, he'd be like Gran Torino Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, yeah. He already like in my head, I imagine him like smoking already. So,
right,
a cigar would be like a hand rolled cigarette.
Yeah, and he'd be as tall, if not taller, than most of the other actors around. And see, that's one of the reasons I kind of went with James Earl Jones, because William Hinckley, who played Lewis, had a real whiny, high register voice, and I thought James Earl Jones would be a nice flip on that. You have this low, booming voice that would really carry, and just that voice being a grouch would be enough of an intimidation. I love the Clint Eastwood and Betty White. You might be winning this already, Chris.
So. We haven't heard the rest of Manny, so he could pull through.
Yeah, man. You got to do it, Manny.
Oh, I don't have. I'm dead in that part.
You're dead with it. Okay.
I completely want to erase them. So
that's fine. So which Lewis and Bethany do you like better, James Earl Jones and Darlene Love, or Clint Eastwood and Betty White?
I think Clint Eastwood and Betty White. I mean, unless James Earl Jones is going to go Mufasa on them, then Clint Eastwood.
In my mind, he would, like, not in appearance, but he would definitely, like, speak very just deep like that.
Yeah.
And then comedy's over. Everybody would just be still like,
uh-uh. Yeah. I can't do a James Earl Jones impression, but I could just hear him saying, it was an ugly tree anyway, you know, just real low. And I think that would be.
You see that tree over there?
Yeah. Yeah. So I just want to hear him say nitroglycerin plant, you know, just, you know, just got a little, that's kind of how I do it. I get little segments. It's like, which actor do I want to see in this segment? And it's like, oh yeah, that would be great. We're going to cover the two wives of these. We're going to save Clark and we're going to save Cousin Eddie as the big reveals towards the end. So in this next pairing, we're going to do who would we recast for Beverly D'Angelo's Ellen, Marion Flynn's Catherine. For Catherine, which is, for those unfamiliar with the movie, and if you're listening to this podcast, I'm sure you're very familiar with the movie. For Catherine, who's Cousin Eddie's wife, I have Octavia Spencer. And for Ellen, I have Zoe Zaldana. Zoe Zaldana's been in lots of things, a lot of action movies kind of stuff. I've seen her. I don't know if I've ever seen her in a comedy. I didn't look up her filmography to see if she was in a comedy, but I have a feeling she's so good as an actress that she could pull this off, mainly because Ellen's comedy's not, it's not a real physical comedy. It's kind of more of a comeback comedy, well-delivered lines. And I think she could pull it off. And Octavia Spencer's just a treasure. She's just really good in about everything she does. She's really good as a supporting actress. I think that's where she really shines, is in roles of support, especially having a little bit of comic relief to a movie. I really liked her in, you know, movies like The Help and Hidden Figures.
Yeah, you got to have some good actors doing the heavy lifting for these movies sometimes. So you got to sneak people in when you can.
Right. I had heard, this is kind of what I was thinking of when I was thinking of the Clark and Ellen dynamic. I had heard years ago, I was watching some documentary. I agree if this was in the mid 90s, some documentary on PBS on the Honeymooners. And everybody, Jackie Gleason was on there in some old interview, and he said something about, everybody thought I was the funniest guy on the show. He's like, but I never delivered any of the punchlines. The lady that played his wife delivered all the punchlines, but everybody thought the way it was written that, you know, it was Jackie Gleason that was the hilarious one. That's kind of the same, similar dynamic I always find with Clark and Ellen. It's like, you know, Ellen's always delivering a punchline kind of as the straight person a little bit. And I think Zoe's and Zadana can really pull that off. So for the two, well, there's more than the two wives, but of the younger couples, of the ones with kids, teenagers or less, who do you have for Ellen and Catherine, Chris?
For Ellen, I have Michelle Williams.
Ooh.
Yeah, I figured sort of the same thing. Like, I wanted to get someone that had a similar, like, vibe as Beverly D'Angelo. Just because I really like how her character kind of is, like you were talking, is kind of like the straight person to that, to Clark's craziness.
Right.
And for Catherine, I wanted to do something. I wanted to do someone that has a little bit of background in comedy and can kind of pull it off. And there's moments when Catherine kind of breaks with the turkey, and I wanted to kind of showcase that. So I picked Anna Faris.
Ah, that's a good one.
Yeah, and I have a feeling that she would really play off of Cousin Eddie as well, which we'll get to.
Mm-hmm. All righty, Manny. Who do you have for Ellen and Cousin Catherine?
All right, for Cousin Catherine, this one's for you guys. And it's going to make sense at the end. It's going to be J-Lo.
Ooh. Interesting.
Like, it's going to make sense at the end, but not that much. Uh-huh. And then for Ellen, we're going to use the Audrey from the movie, the Juliet Lewis.
Ah.
And if you've seen, like her late, not her latest, but her grown-up acting.
Uh-huh.
But then it's going to make sense at the end, but it's not.
If you cast Woody Harrelson as Clark Griswold, then you have a totally different movie.
Oh, no, I'm going to.
I do like to tie in to the original Christmas Vacation, which was something I thought about doing by using Chevy Chase as one of the elderly dads, one of the grandpas, but I just...
That was done in the last Vacation movie, and
it didn't work out. I think if anything, I would have put him in the Frank Shirley role as the boss, where it's a real small role, but I didn't even go that far with it. I was just like, I just don't think anybody wants to work with him anymore, and it changes the dynamic of the cast and crew and all that. So unfortunately, he's just too cantankerous.
Yeah, he didn't make the cut.
Yep. Wow. So Chevy, if you're listening to this podcast, we love you. We'll have you anytime.
Mm-hmm.
All three of us. I'll speak
for
all three.
Do you like New York City? Do you want to come talk about it?
Yeah. Yeah. Any, we all three have different podcasts. We'd love to have you on each one of them. Talk about your problems. You know, get those feelings out there.
And I'm pretty sure there's a podcast about that too.
Yeah. Yeah. Embrace the peace and love that Christmas brings and spread it around, Chevy. Oh, it's getting thick in here. All right, let's go on to the top billing in this movie. You know, the two most memorable characters, Clark and Cousin Eddie. Sometimes I think Cousin Eddie's probably a little bit more popular character because of the silliness that he brings. But I have for my Cousin Eddie, the one and only Dwayne The Rock Johnson. A little bit different casting as far as type, but I would love to see Dwayne in that Cousin Eddie hat. I think he would look hilarious in a out there with that hat on in a bathrobe, cleaning out the RV into the sewer. I think that would be fantastic. And he's also a large enough man that he could legitimately kidnap Mr. Shirley and bring him to Clark's house. And The Rock is a very good comedic actor.
Mm-hmm.
He is very good with his timing, and I think it would be hilarious. And for my Clark, I needed somebody that was a little bit of a firecracker, that could be a dad, a family man, but always just seemed to be on the urge of having a temper tantrum, breakdown, meltdown. And I went with, I know this is your guys' favorite pick of mine, Kevin Hart.
That wasn't me. That was everyone else listening.
Oh, somebody just braked the car. Like, was driving to just braked. Mm. They pulled over. No, yeah. Keep going. Continue your commute.
I have a feeling of the three of us on here, I'm probably the only one that is even remotely a Kevin Hart fan. But I would just, when I see Kevin Hart, all I can think about is the big, long, where's the Tylenol speech. He would pull it off flawlessly. He would be running through the house, cutting the newel post off with the chainsaw. And he would also be that sappy family dad trying to make Christmas perfect for everybody at the same time.
Just thinking about him acting in the movie makes me exhausted. I feel like he just like drains my energy to watch it. Like, it's just like, he's just like on 11 the entire time. I feel like it would be a whole lot of just like his like energy the whole time.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that fast talking kind of thing. It's not too different than casting Joe Pesci in a role kind of thing. And to be honest with everybody, I see some rumors out on the internet. I'm not sure if they're rumors or if they're true. I had my casting done before it was announced that he was in talks or in line to be the lead in the remaking of Scrooged.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, I saw that a week or so ago. Like I said, I'm not sure if it's just rumors or if it's actually like a sign thing that it's going to happen, but he's supposed to be the lead for Scrooged, a remake of Scrooged. So
I feel like I don't know. I almost would rather him do that than Christmas Vacation.
Yeah. Well, Scrooged isn't as beloved as Christmas Vacation. Plus, too, that character is a little bit more irritating through most of the movie.
Maybe that's why I'm thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably so. So, Chris, who do you have for your Clark and for your Cousin Eddie?
So back at the beginning, when I cast Clark Sr., I cast a Pakistani actor. The reason for that is because for Clark Jr., I cast Kumail Nanjiani.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I figured there's a dynamic that it's very easy to kind of insert him into that movie where it's not that hard to believe that. The mm-hmm. only difference, I mean, Nora, that seems a little off. I mean, all you'd have to do is have him call Nora instead of mom, and it could be a stepmom situation, and you don't really have to explain it other than that. One of the things I hate about movies sometimes is like the forced narrative to kind of catch people up on things.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, well, back when I met Nora when I was in Pakistan, or I don't need to hear that. Just
right.
We can move on. Cause if it was any other people, any other group of people, you wouldn't have to be like, well, why is he there? But
mm-hmm.
so I feel like if you can just kind of push that through where that makes sense. And then maybe Clark and Clark Sr. moved to America at some point, and then they mm-hmm. met Katie.
Yeah. Yeah. That's understandable.
Yeah.
I'm with you there. A lot of times, the backstory is too spoon fed to people. And it's mm-hmm. really, it's like you're wasting time on stuff you doesn't need to be wasted on, because
yeah.
us as viewers are generally smart enough to pick up on those types of cues, because all our families are imperfect and we have things like that. So we know what's going on. Good call on that. I really, really like that call.
Yeah. I think it'd be fun to see, cause I mean, you could play up his upbringing in Pakistan. You can also play up his like wonder of this like American traditional Christmas and wanting to like live that out. And you could even show the same scene where he's up in the attic watching the videos or the reels, and it could be him growing up, his first Christmas in America or whatever else. It could be Nora's family's Christmas. It could be anything. So I feel like that would be really interesting to see. And I feel like he can probably handle carrying the movie. He's a pretty funny guy.
Yeah, he is. I think you're right there. That's a very interesting take. That's a good call on that. And who did you have for your cousin Eddie?
I feel like everybody would assume that this would be the ideal cousin Eddie. It has to be Danny McBride. I feel like the only thing that Danny McBride or that cousin Eddie and Kenny Powers differ in is Kenny Powers had one skill at one point.
Right.
If Kenny Powers couldn't pitch real quick, he would be cousin Eddie for sure.
Right.
It's already built in.
I like that.
Yeah. Him and Anna Faris would really have an interesting dynamic as well.
That would be great. That would be great.
Mental picture. You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
No. That's fantastic. Good call on both those, Chris. Mm-hmm. All righty, Manny. It's up to you. Give us a Clark Griswold and a cousin Eddie.
All right, with cousin Eddie. Let me go with cousin Eddie. It's gonna be Luis Guzman.
Aha.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But the version he played on Shameless.
Okay.
That's perfect, cousin Eddie. Uh-huh. And then for Clark, I mean, you explained it before. You don't have to go.
Wow, man.
you're gonna have to say that again, man, because it didn't come through.
Yeah, it sounded like you said David Chappelle.
Yes, I did say David Chappelle.
I didn't get that at all. All I heard was sound like dial up internet to me. David Chappelle is Clark.
Yeah, just picture him. I'm messing with the lights and the lights won't come on. He's like, what? 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 I mean, and then just beating the heck out of like all the decorations outside. Just picture him.
Yeah, I could see that.
I know I went overboard, but like you said, I mean, hey. It's my dream. My crazy ass dream.
Yeah.
When do I get my trophy for casting the best?
Well, that remains to be seen. I'll put a few of these main, not every character, but I'll put the kind of the main group up on the social medias and we'll let the listeners decide on whose is the best.
Yeah. I'd also like to hear what other people have to think. Have to say.
Yes. I'm sure Anthony and Tom will be on top of this, giving us their picks. And for you listeners out there, we'll put this on social media. I'll tag Christmas Time in the City and Feliz Christmas, Merry Navidad, and those posts so we can all see them, and let us know who you'd pick on some of these characters. You don't have to do everybody, but just, you know, your Clark and your cousin Eddie and whoever you feel like, or if you have a, you know, great idea for just one of the characters, let us know. I have a few characters to kind of round out the roster. These weren't ones that were worth going through individually, but I had for Bill, who is the Clark's work buddy, I actually have David Chappelle in that role. So both of us, Manny, were kind of had a David Chappelle in mind. I also had for Frank Shirley, Clark's boss, Denzel Washington. I think he'd play a great grumpy guy in the short scene. And then I needed a wife for him that could, you know, not be overshadowed by his presence on screen. So I went with Angela Bassett. Mm-hmm. I recast the Mary, who's the lady that works in the mall that Clark pines over. And instead of just finding some young model or something like that, I went with Halle Berry. She's more Clark's age, probably a little bit older, but I could see, you know, someone that age working in the mall, you know, trying to make some money for the holidays, because when you go in the mall, you see people of all ages working in there. And for one last gag, the SWAT officer, the one that talks about beating Mr. Shirley with a rubber hose if he had one, I picked Nicolas Cage, because Who doesn't want Nicolas Cage to threaten to beat somebody with a rubber hose? Because I'm sure he probably has experience. So,
yeah, I got one for that one.
What's Bernie, that, man?
Bernie Mac.
Yeah, Bernie Mac would have been great. Yes, he would.
Yeah.
Do you, either you guys have any characters that kind of fill in the gaps that are there, but aren't you know, necessarily that vital? We didn't pick any of the kids to let everybody know. Well, I have kids' names wrote down, but kids are hard. It's, you just don't really know how well they'll do. So now moving forward, unless the kid is just absolutely vital to the role, like one of the main characters, like in A Christmas Story, I have a no casting of kids policy. It's just too difficult.
Yeah, there's so many kids out there to choose from. Like, how do you have any idea?
Yeah, and all their credits are like walking and saying three words in three episodes of a certain TV show, and that's it. You know, so it's, you just really don't know. So, but do you guys got some side characters to fill out the cast?
I tried the kids real hard. I was trying to find, this was like you were talking about the problem. I was trying to find, which I don't have any access to any casting portfolios or anything. I was looking for Pakistani American, like second generation kids that could play more or less just play American kids, having a very like a second generation perspective where they don't really associate with their home country. And so Pakistani America, it's very difficult. So like, let me try to be a little bit more broad, which is difficult because you don't want to offend anyone. Mm-hmm. And so I was thinking, well, let me try like maybe Indian sort of. So I found the one kid, he was in Grand Budapest Hotel, and he was just in Spider-Man, Flash Thompson. Mm-hmm. His name is Tony Revolori. But I looked him up afterwards and he's Guatemalan. So he's not even, I'm positive he played an Indian guy in Grand Budapest Hotel.
Yeah,
so
I'm pretty sure he can.
He's capable. But the problem is that's it. You can't like find people. And my Audrey is even more outlandish because I cast someone from 15 years ago. She's still alive. It's not like Walter Matthau or anything. Or Bernie Mac, RIP. For Audrey, I cast Aaliyah Shawkat 15 years ago, maybe from Arrested Development. Uh-huh. She is, I think she's Iranian. I want to say as some, or maybe it's Iraqi, I believe. I don't know. Last thing I want to do is offend anyone. Yeah, she's Iraqi.
Ah, okay.
So I figured, I mean, like, it's not perfect and it's just kind of a placeholder, but I kind of liked her vibe in Arrested Development. So I feel like that character could play well.
Well, guys, I appreciate you joining me here on the recast, miscast. There'll be social media posts up. We're not going to run through all these names again. I just don't want to be listing names, but we have some interesting casts. We've kind of taken the family in a different direction, different dynamics here. You kind of have to open up the story to some new jokes because you don't want a line for line, beat for beat recasting of the same movie. That would just be a remake. I prefer the term reimagining instead of a remake because, you know, a scene by scene remake is to me kind of pointless. It's like, well, they've already made that movie once. Why do I need to see it again? So, you know, if you reimagine it, give it some actors that give it a different direction, a different feel, open it up to some more jokes, be something we haven't seen before. That's the only way you'd be able to recast a movie like this and pull it off in a way that it wouldn't make everybody who loves the original super mad and give some people maybe something new to hold on to as a Christmas movie watching tradition. So
yeah, maybe people that wouldn't otherwise steer their way over to like a National Lampoon's movie would be more inclined to watch it if there was more representations. That's
right.
I like all three of ours because of that. I think maybe not Manny's as much.
Yeah, but my idea was having my Chappelle going over there and getting his Kevin Hart out and just continue his casting, you know, as a backup.
Bernie Mac and Walter Matthau, probably not as impossible as you think with this day and age of computer animated actors and actresses appearing on screen. So you could probably
they could do anything.
They could really pull that off, probably.
Man, imagine how much effort they have to put into and how many other people they would have to deny so they can have Bernie Mac in the movie.
Right.
Just like, how disrespectful is that to every other a living actor?
Imagine being an actor saying, I went for this part and I didn't get it. They're like, well, who got it? Bernie Mac, the dead guy? You know, how bad of an actor are you?
It's like when dead people win elections. They're going to reanimate and they're going to use Andy Serkis to do all the stop motion. Or camp.
Christmas Vacation at Bernie's. You perfect.
That's the next casting.
Well, Chris, tell everybody where they can find you and your lovely wife for Christmas time in the city.
Yeah, my wife and I have a podcast called Christmas Time in the City. We talk about all things New York City, the holiday traditions and what's going on. And we talk about the Christmas tree and Central Park and all that fun stuff. We're everywhere on the podcasts. We're on social media. Just look us up. We're everywhere. That's it. That's all I got to say. Come find us.
And for those that don't know, Manny's one of the new kids on the block. He started Feliz Christmas, Merry Navidad not very long ago. Manny, tell everybody what your podcast, a little bit about your podcast and where they can find you at, buddy.
All right. Well, Feliz Christmas, Merry Navidad is a bilingual, multilingual Christmas podcast. I'm going to feature there a lot of stories from different parts of the world, different backgrounds. I mean, here in the U.S., I don't have to go that far to get all that. That's a good thing about living in this nation, right? Yep. And you meet everybody from everywhere and we can share all those traditions. And you could find us on our social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FCMN Podcast. And for podcast platforms, I could finally say it. You could find us anywhere.
Oh, great.
Your favorite podcast platform. And also FCMNpodcast.com.
Fantastic. Well, guys, thanks for joining me here on Christmas Clatter Recast Miscast and joining me for this experiment and changing formats. I really appreciate it more than I can say and express. Thanks so much. And you guys have a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Thank you for having us.
Feliz Christmas. Merry Navidad.
Thank you for listening to Christmas Clatter. Please leave us a rating and review on your favorite podcast app. Join us on Facebook and Instagram at Christmas Clatter Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Clatter Podcast. Send us an email at ChristmasClatterPodcast@gmail.com. Visit our website at ChristmasClatterPodcast.com. And as always, remember to keep Christmas hope alive every day.
Thank you for listening to the Christmas Podcast Network.
I think his name's actually Ravioli.
It could be Ravioli. I hope it's Ravioli. I hope his name is Tony Ravioli.
I think it's close because I remember seeing him in some Screen Junkies movie fights, and I think it could have been a joke. They could have just been joking, calling him Ravioli, you know, because it's basically a comedy bit. But, but I don't know. I'll have to look it up. I'll probably cut that part out because I don't want to call
Revolori. Yeah. Tony Revolori.
Revolori.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Guatemalan American actor Tony Ravioli.
Yeah. With an Italian name. It's like,
yeah.
God bless America. You know. I don't think we're going to offend anybody with this episode.
No, this is fine.
Oh, yeah. That's what editing's for. So,
you should throw that part in there.